Have you ever watched a brand new student make a beautiful takeoff, wings level, airspeed alive, and then drift right off the center line like the airplane's got a mind of its own? It does, sort of. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, the show where we take one thing that's been quietly costing you altitude or heading or check ride points, and we pull it apart until it makes sense. Today's tip of the day is a small one that runs underneath almost everything you do in the airplane. It's about your feet. And it's about why, on every single takeoff, the airplane wants to yaw left, and you have to teach yourself to answer it before you even think about it. Right? Rudder. That's the whole tip in two words. But two words won't make you a better pilot. Understanding why is what sticks. So let's walk through this together. Before we dig in, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of this journey we're all on. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument rating, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a nice way to hold on to the milestones that go by faster than you'd think. AviationSoul.com. Now, back to your feet. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. When your instructor barks right rudder for the 40th time on a climb out, they are not correcting a mistake you made. They are correcting four separate forces of physics that are all conspiring at that exact moment to swing the nose left. You didn't do anything wrong. The airplane is behaving exactly as designed. Your job is to cancel it out. There are four of these left-turning tendencies. Every one of them is strongest when the propeller is turning fast and the airplane is moving slow, which is to say on takeoff and in the climb. That's the setup that matters. High power, low airspeed, nose high. That's when all four gang up on you at once. Let's take them one at a time. The first one is torque. And this is Newton's third law showing up in your cockpit. For every action, an equal and opposite reaction. Your engine is spinning a propeller clockwise, as seen from the pilot's seat, in most American airplanes. That's a lot of mass turning one way, so the airframe wants to rotate the opposite way to the left, roll to the left. Now in flight, your ailerons handle most of that, but on the ground on the takeoff roll, that leftward roll pushes down on the left main gear. More weight on the left wheel means more friction on the left wheel. And more friction on one side pulls you guessed it, left, torque, force number one. Force number two is the big one, spiraling slipstream. Picture the air coming off that propeller. It doesn't just blow straight back, it corkscrews. It wraps around the fuselage in a spiral, like a barber pole, because the prop is throwing it in a rotating motion. And that corkscrew of air, in a standard American engine, wraps around and strikes the left side of your vertical tail. It pushes the tail right. And when the tail goes right, the nose goes left. That's your slipstream. It's strongest at high power and low speed. When that spiral is tight and energetic and hasn't had a chance to stretch out, speed up, and the spiral stretches into a lazy coil that misses the tail. That's why the pull eases off as you accelerate. Force number three is P-factor, asymmetric propeller loading if you want the fancy name. This one only shows up when the airplane is flying at a high angle of attack, nose up, which is exactly your climb attitude. Here's the picture. When the nose is high, the propeller disc is tilted back, so the downgoing blade over on the right side of the disc as you look forward is taking a bigger bite of air than the upgoing blade on the left side. Bigger bite means more thrust on the right side of the propeller. More thrust on the right pushes the nose, one more time, left. P-factor is why you keep needing right rudder even after you've lifted off and you're climbing out at a nice steady speed. Your nose high, the downgoing blade is working harder, so you hold that pressure. And force number four is the sneaky one, gyroscopic precession. A spinning propeller is a gyroscope, and gyroscopes do a strange thing. When you apply a force to a spinning disc, the reaction doesn't show up where you pushed. It shows up 90 degrees later in the direction of rotation. Now, for most of us flying tricycle gear airplanes, precession barely registers. But if you fly a tail dragger, it's front and center. The moment you push the tail up on the takeoff roll, you're tilting that spinning propeller disc forward. That input gets carried 90 degrees around, and it comes out as a hard yaw to the left. Tailwheel pilots know this one in their feet. It's why raising the tail too abruptly can swing you toward the weeds. So there they are. Torque, spiraling slipstream, P-factor, and gyroscopic precession. Four tendencies, all of them point left. All of them peak when you're slow and the throttle is forward. Now here's the part that actually makes you a better pilot, because knowing the names doesn't fly the airplane. The mistake I see most often isn't that a student doesn't push right rudder, it's that they wait to see the drift before they push. They treat the rudder like a correction instead of a preload, and by the time you see the nose swing and the centerline slide out from under you, you're already behind the airplane. You stab at it. You overcorrect. Now you're weaving down the runway doing the drunken snake, and every fix is bigger than the last. Here's how to break that. On your next takeoff, as you smoothly bring the power up, add right rudder at the same time as the throttle, not after, with. Feed them in together. You're anticipating the yaw, not chasing it. Think of it as two hands moving one lever each, throttle forward, right foot forward at the same rate. The airplane will trek straight down the centerline and it'll feel, honestly, like you're not doing anything at all. That's the goal. Effortless looks like anticipation. And let's talk about how much. This trips people up. The amount of right rudder you need is not fixed. It changes constantly through the takeoff and climb, because those four forces change with power and airspeed. Full power, low speed, nose coming up, that's your maximum right rudder. As you accelerate and lower the nose to cruise climb, you ease some out. Level off, and pull the power back for cruise, and you can nearly relax your feet. So don't think of it as one setting. Think of it as a living pressure that you're always trimming with your feet. Some airplanes even give you a rudder trim tab so you're not standing on that pedal for a long climb. Set it and your leg thanks you. Let me give you a real scenario, because this is where it bites people. You're departing on a warm afternoon out of a field that sits at some elevation. Density altitude is up, so you're using a lot of runway and your climb rate is anemic. You rotate, your nose high, trying to milk every foot of climb out of thin air, and you're slow because the airplane just doesn't have the performance today. Now think about what you just built. High power, high angle of attack, low airspeed. That is the maximum everything recipe for left yaw. P factor is screaming, the slipstream is hammering your tail, and if you're not carrying a healthy boot full of right rudder, that airplane is going to yaw left, and the ball is going to slide way out to the right side of the cage. And here's why that matters beyond just looking sloppy. An uncoordinated airplane at low altitude, slow, nose high, with the ball off to the side is exactly the setup for a stall spin accident. If you're skidding, one wing is a little slower, a little deeper into the stall, and if you break the stall in that condition, it doesn't just mush. It rolls down low after takeoff, there is no altitude to recover. So this humble little right rudder habit isn't about tediness. Coordinated flight after takeoff is a safety margin. It keeps the airplane honest right when you have the least room to fix a mistake. The Airman Certification Standards has this baked in, by the way. Go read the normal takeoff and climb task. It asks you to maintain directional control and to stay coordinated. When your examiner watches your takeoff, they're not looking for anything exotic. They're looking to see whether you track the centerline without drifting, and whether that ball stays in the middle as you climb out. A takeoff where the nose wanders and the ball hangs out to the side tells the examiner you don't yet feel the airplane. A clean, straight, coordinated climb tells them you do. Same maneuver. Two completely different stories, and the whole difference is in your feet. So, how do you build the habit? Because that's really what this is. A habit, not a fact. Try this. Next few flights, put the ball where you can see it in your scan and make coordination a game on every climb. Nose comes up, ball drifts right, you answer with right rudder until it centers. You'll start to feel the pressure required before you even glance down. That's the goal. Feeling it in your legs instead of reading it off the panel. Here's a trick that helps it click. Some folks tell students to step on the ball, meaning push the rudder on the side the ball has slid toward. Ball's out to the right, step on the right rudder. It works, and it's a fine training crutch. But I'll be honest with you, on takeoff you already know which way it's gonna go. It's going left every time for the four reasons we just covered. So don't wait for the ball to tell you. Lead it. Preload the right rudder and let the ball confirm you got it right. One more piece, and this is for the folks moving into a tail dragger or thinking about it. Everything we just talked about is amplified in a tailwheel airplane, and precession joins the party in a way you'll feel immediately. A conventional gear airplane will teach you rudder discipline whether you want the lesson or not, because there's no nose wheel out front keeping you honest. That's not a reason to be scared of them. It's a reason to respect what your feet are doing. If you can keep a tail dragger straight down the center line, you understand these four forces in your body, not just your head. And that understanding makes you smoother in anything you fly afterward. So let's bring it home. Four left turning tendencies. Torque rolling you left and loading that left wheel, spiraling slipstream corkscrewing back and slapping the left side of your tail. P factor, the downgoing blade biting harder when the nose is high. And gyroscopic precession, the gyroscope, in the propeller carrying your input a quarter turn around. All four strongest when you're slow with the power up. All four answered by one thing, right rudder. Fed in with the throttle, held through the climb, relaxed as you accelerate. Your feet are not passengers. On takeoff, they're doing as much work as your hands, and once this becomes automatic, you'll stop hearing right rudder in your headset because you'll already be there. My thanks to the folks who write the Airman Certification Standards and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge published by the FAA, where every one of these four forces is laid out if you want to read the official version tonight. There's more on all of this over at radiohangar.com whenever you want it. Go fly a few takeoffs this week and just pay attention to your right foot. I think you'll be surprised how much it already knows. This is Pattern. Keep it on the center line.